Welcome to Creative Mind Soul Sessions with Deborah Burnt Maldonado and Dr. Rob Maldonado, founders of Creative Mind. Explore personal growth with us through Jungian psychology, Eastern spirituality, and social neuroscience in a deep but practical way. Let's begin. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Soul Sessions. I am Deborah Burnt Maldonado, here with Dr. Rob Maldonado of Creative Mind, and we are excited for our series on enlightened leadership. We're going to be talking about leadership, being a leader, taking your mission and spreading it to the world in whatever capacity you want to lead, whether you're in the corporate world or entrepreneur. And but before we begin the topic of today, I would love for you to subscribe to our channel. Click here if you are watching us on YouTube. And if you are listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. This really helps us a lot, gets more people watching the show and gets this information out to more people who want to hear it. So today we're talking about the authenticity of a leader, how to become authentic. And this term is thrown out a lot, like I have to be authentic. So we're going to kind of challenge some myths about authenticity and take you a little deeper in the creative mind way.
That's right. The creative mind process.
Yes.
And which is really a Jungian based model, but also from the, we use the perspective of Eastern philosophy, non-dualism. So from that perspective, there's a couple of ways to think about leadership and success that are very different than what you might see in other programs. Mm-hmm. One of them is that real leadership is based on authenticity, is correct. In Eastern philosophy, there's this concept of satya. Mm. So satya translates as truth, non-deception, being genuine in essence. And it is the beginning of that journey of towards self-realization.
And so when we say deception, many people will think, well, I'm not deceptive. But how many times have you deceived yourself with the wrong understanding of who you are and what's possible in your life and even what is showing up in your world? And so we're going to dig into that. Now, I hear authenticity a lot, and a lot of people think, I've heard this described, that authenticity is, I'm going to share my true feelings. I'm going to be vulnerable. You triggered me and I'm going to tell you why that hurt me. And yes, that is very courageous to express your feelings, but it isn't true authenticity. I mean, it's a step toward it, but you're still operating from ego. You're still thinking that person did something to me and I need to speak my truth. And we don't know, and we're going to talk about this with the shadow work, is you don't know if it's really true. What you're perceiving in the situation is true. And of course, your mother, the quote that you told me years ago, I'm probably going to botch it up, hablando entiende la gente. Did I say it right?
Pretty close.
Pretty close. It means when we speak, we understand each other. That's so right. It is a good first step. I'm not saying it's wrong or bad. It's a good first step to have a conversation with someone instead of being in your own head. But the next level is something more profound.
Yeah. So from the Jungian perspective, what we are working with, most of us, right, when we set out to start a practice or a business or get some kind of corporate leadership position, we're working with our persona. Mm-hmm. Now, there's nothing wrong with a persona. It helps us establish ourselves in the world, gives us an identity, a way of identifying ourselves. But Jung says it's a mask. Mm-hmm. That's not the authentic you. That is the role that you're playing.
And even if you're like, have this inner voice and you're thinking, I'm going to make that inner voice external and that's authentic, that inner voice is also the ego.
That's right. It's the ego. And the ego is very much about self. Mm-hmm. It's always kind of measuring us in relationship to others. So it's very good at not only physical survival, but social survival. Like, where am I in the pecking order? Mm. What's my status? How do I appear to others? All that the ego is continuously feeding back to us and giving us a sense of that.
And the assumptions that the ego is making are based on the past. And so we get trained by the way our parents responded to things, our siblings, our peers, and then we become this, we think that's just the way the world is. This is how to react. This is how to respond. And depending what culture you have, sometimes some cultures are very affectionate. Other cultures are like, ooh, let's keep everything conservative. Let's not show our feelings. So there's a lot of different variations to what a person's personal experience of the world is. And think about 8 billion, is it 8 or 9 billion? People now. We have 9 billion different interpretations of what reality is right now.
Yeah. So in the work setting for leaders and entrepreneurs and people in corporate settings, then it's limiting because you're bringing all that personal history to the room, right? Mm-hmm. Into the team meeting or the setting. And that's very limiting. I mean, you might be, of course, brilliant and a great person and all that. There's nothing wrong with a persona. But again, it's limiting because you're only able to see things through the lens of that persona, of that mask, of that role that you're playing as persona individual. What the Eastern philosophy says is you have to, and as well as Jung, of course, he says you have to integrate the unconscious content, that conditioning that is in the unconscious. You have to make it conscious so that you're aware of it. And by being aware of it, you're able to master it. It no longer dictates to you how things are going to play out, but you're able to use it in a creative way.
Well, here's a really good example of that, because that's a kind of high concept, so I'm going to bring it down. So let's say you love the fact that you're a giver. You love to give, you're giving, but people that constantly take or ask for more, you get triggered by, and you're like wondering why people aren't appreciative of all you're giving. You think the giver is who you really are, and you're identified as the giver, and that's who I am, and that's my authentic self. But it's actually probably not. It's probably an aspect of your conditioning that you felt that somewhere down the line that by giving and being overgiving, you basically help people not be mad at you or make people like you and all those things. And so we have this like idealistic version of ourselves that we're such a giver and so generous. And then we have to question, is that really authentic, or is it me giving to get, loving to be loved? You know, what is that about? And so that's what we're talking about. The shadow are those people that show up that trigger us. The non-givers, the takers, right? And then it's like, why won't I allowed to receive? And I find that so many people that are really giving and kind, they have a really hard time receiving. And so it's really about who is the authentic you? Are you the giver? Are you the taker? Or are you something else?
So yeah, for the giver, what would be in their shadow?
The taker, someone who takes, someone who isn't kind, someone who withdraws help or service. And a lot of our clients are in the service industry. They're coaches or consultants. And we go into this this kind of career because we are natural givers, or it's like conditioned givers, I should say, not natural. And it comes natural to us and easy for us. And so we can go on and just do that, but eventually it's going to get exhausting. We're going to get triggered by all the people that show up that take from us and don't appreciate it, and then it becomes very draining. And so this is the cause of stress. This is the cause of anger. All this stuff happens, and then we, on top of that, think we're a giver, we're a good person, we can't be angry, and then we are really stuck in a very finite way of operating in the world. And authenticity is not finite. Authenticity is infinite.
That's right. So what is going on psychologically for the giver there is that the receiving, or the ability to receive, is in the unconscious mind, meaning they can't see it. To them, it threatens the persona of the giver, and therefore it's pushed into the unconscious mind.
Which is, we think about dualism, is like you can't be one thing without the other. And non-dualism, integrate both sides of the coin to create something new.
Yes, by integrating the shadow then, Jung says you become more whole in the sense that you're able to hold the tension between these opposing elements of your personality, but also to transcend them. You're able to go beyond them, which means that's the creative process right there. You're able to decide beyond the giving and receiving duality to use your intelligence, your creativity in a powerful way, given the situation, the circumstances that you're in. So you're very much in the present moment instead of reliving the past.
So a Satya leader would examine the underlying drive for giving. Like, why do I have to give here? And you'll notice that you're off balance if you're triggered by people that constantly take from you. You'd be like, you're not really a giver if you're like triggered by people who take, because that's basically what you attract. You know, a giver attracts takers. And so by examining the drive and the compulsion to give, and we start examining, well, do I want to give in this moment? Do I not? Can I receive? Can I let someone take care of me for a minute? And you basically, you're allowing yourself to be both sides of the coin. And then in that moment of truth, when you truly give and you're not doing it out of ego, it feels truth. It's you're acting in truth. Sat means truth and ya means to be, to act. And so you're acting in truth. And that only comes after shadow integration. You cannot get it anywhere else.
That's right. So one last thing before we move on, what happens within groups, within teams, within relationships even, that if you're not genuine, if you are basically believing that you are the role that you're playing, the persona, the other person, even though they might not be aware of it, their unconscious mind is picking up that you're playing a role. It's not really you. It's essentially like your agent or your representative, that you're putting forth this face, this mask, like Jung says, and that it's not the real you. Therefore, there's an undercurrent of mistrust. Real trust can only come about when you have integrated your shadow. You've accepted your dark aspects, or the aspects that you pushed away, and integrated them into your conscious awareness. Yeah. Then real, genuine, authentic connection can occur.
And it feels very grounded too, because now it's your choice versus your compulsion. It's your true desire versus the ego's desire. Are you a high-achieving entrepreneur who has hit a limit or a ceiling to how far your business can grow? And you know you don't need another business strategy or how to scale. You know what to do. You know something inside of you is stopping you, and you want to find out what that is. I invite you to join Rob and I in our new Facebook group, Satya Leadership Experience. Join us for live classes and some workshops that are going to help you open your mind to a new, higher level of leadership in your mind. We hope you join us for this incredible inner journey that's going to literally change every area of your life. So join us, Satya Leadership Experience in Facebook. The link's in the show notes. We'll see you there. And I find that a lot of people, and I'm a former recovering giver, I do give a lot, but I used to do it so people wouldn't be mad. And how many of you, you could sit, listen right now, how many of you do something because someone's complaining about it, or you feel like you're going to disappoint someone, versus something you really want to do? And I know for me, it is so hard to say no when someone asks for something, and it could be something innocent, but you really don't want to do it. The best thing an authentic leader can do is say no. And even if it makes you feel uncomfortable, it's more authentic than you just going along and saying, but my true self is very giving, and you get yourself caught up. See, the ego loves to use our spiritual work and our personal growth work as a way to like strategize with us and be like, well, Deb, you know, you're such a giver and you're such a humanitarian, and it uses all your language that you're learning in whatever personal growth or spiritual growth you're doing to disguise itself as, oh, this is the right way. And so you have to watch out for it because it's pretty sneaky, right?
That's right. That's right. So then we, let's say this sets the groundwork for authentic, genuine leadership in all capacities, right? For entrepreneurs, for business leaders, or as well as relationships, like we were saying, just a genuine relationship with another person. But of course, for teams, this is very powerful because from the Eastern point of view, this is non-duality in a nutshell. Non-duality sees everyone and everything as an extension of yourself, mm-hmm. of the true self within you. And there is no distinction.
There's no you and me.
That's right. Yeah. Now, that just philosophically, in other words, just understanding that principle and practicing that will then lead you to see your team members and your customers and your potential clients as part of yourself, mm-hmm. meaning you're not treating them as strangers, as agents to be manipulated, as anything outside of yourself. You're seeing them as an aspect of yourself. That perspective is very powerful for leaders and for teams as well.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're seeing the extension, it's the same thing. Leaders sometimes feel that they have to overgive to their team. And again, is that coming from your authentic self, or is that coming from your need to be liked, need to be known as the best leader? You know, like we all have that. I have the best team and I'm the greatest boss, you know, the world's greatest boss. You see those mugs and you want to be that. So you kind of have to kind of bend yourself to be that greatest boss. And in your mind, you think that means overgiving or doing things, taking on work that you shouldn't be doing, or not keeping your team up to their goals and letting them slide too much. All those things come into play. And if you think about from a business standpoint, you not doing your shadow work, you not understanding who your authentic self is, it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you a lot of money. Rob, how much money did I cost? 1 year, I looked up how many free bonuses I gave out to our students because I felt bad that they were spending a lot of money. And I just, it was that unconscious, like I don't deserve to be abundant, you know, kind of thing I was working on. And it was like over $100,000 of free programs that they probably would have bought. They felt overwhelmed by getting all these things. And I'm just like, why did I feel so guilty, you know, asking for more? And so, you know, with that, with overpaying people that shouldn't be paid or letting them get away with things and not delivering, hiring the wrong people, not being, you know, specific in what they need to do to make the business run, all those things. And many times we try to be the good boss, like the world's best boss, get that mug. And then we don't want to be the authoritarian or something and be not liked. And so whether you're in the leadership role in your own business or in a corporation, this can come into play. Now, the opposite is I've been in the corporate world for many years before I did this. The opposite of the person who doesn't want to please at all, that person who's the hardcore, doesn't even let compassion in, because they're so driven by the bottom line. So you can have the opposite too. That's not authentic either. It's this kind of like grinding your team to the ground. You see this a lot with these companies where people are you know, overworked, underpaid, underappreciated, and the company just like tosses them aside and says, we're laying 2,000 people off this month and there's no compassion. So we do need that authentic leadership in both corporate and small businesses because we're the bread and butter of the country, you know, around our world. Like we have to, you know, have a living and take care of our families. And if we're not feeling good at work, we're not going to feel good for our family and show up for them.
Yeah.
There's like, it's more than just your team. It's more than just work. It's your whole life.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, just because we practice non-duality doesn't mean we just let everything go, right?
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. We could just like sail away and let's have that Zen moment.
What it does, though, it liberates you again because you're not operating from your past conditioning. Mm. It liberates your creative mind then to work for win-win-win situations where everyone wins. And there's nothing stopping us from doing that. It's simply thinking about how can we make deals? How can we structure businesses? How can we enact programs where everyone wins, where people get what they need and the company gets what they need, and the workers and everyone wins essentially from that kind of structure and inspired work.
And I think you always say to me, like when I was working on my pleasing disease, I hurt people if I just overgive, because I'm teaching my clients that you just have to give, and you can't have boundaries. And that's not healthy either. Yeah. And so if someone is mad because you kept a boundary, it's an opportunity for them to grow. It's an opportunity for them. Why are you triggered about this? Like, why me saying no? What is coming up for you? And it gives that other person an opportunity to free their own mind. So it's not, you know, being kind and kind of bulldozing through the discomfort and just, you know, kind of putting like beautiful pink roses around everything is not really helping anyone grow. And you're the strongest team is someone in a relationship too, like our relationship and our relationship with our kids. It's all about growth, and growth is not always comfortable, and it's not always just being happy. It is sometimes those challenges really kind of take away our rough edges and really question who we really are. And that's really a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think just seeing the interconnectedness of everything and everyone you work with, just gives you that bigger perspective that you're not just out for the bottom line, like you said. It's more about using your creativity to create businesses and even institutions that serve everyone. They become like I always think of businesses like these social machines that we create and we bring into the world, and they're very powerful. So we want to use the right philosophies in creating these social machines, because they're going to outlive us. Often, and if we create great businesses, they're going to be around way beyond the time that we're here. So we got to make it count, right? And these philosophies serve as foundational principles that we can use to guide our creative process.
Yeah. And I love that interconnectedness that you say, because we are connected. And when you're looking at your team, whether you're looking at your clients, whether you're looking at your family, your colleagues, they're all a reflection of your mind. They're all the dark and light of your own mind. They're right there in front of you. Your unconscious mind is right there in front of you. And it's to be curious about what's bothering us, or why we admire a certain person. Is it because we don't feel like we have that capacity, or the jealousy of someone who's successful? Is that because I really don't feel that I could be successful? It's not right or wrong. Like we're going to have these feelings of guilt, jealousy, anger, fear, grief, happiness, joy, all those things. And it's like to examine it a little further of what these underlying experiences in the human condition are saying about ourselves and how we see the world, and to be curious about them versus just locking them into a positive or negative column and moving away from the negative and only propping up the positive.
So in this series, we want to continue to talk about emotions, leadership styles, our archetypal elements, dreams, how do entrepreneurs use dreams, or can use dreams in their inspirational work? If you're a mompreneur, a solopreneur, an independent coach, or you have a team and or you're building a business, hopefully some of these concepts will help you.
Yeah, I think it's well needed in the leadership space. We've been watching what's out there, and a lot of it is very practical. You know, look at your life, put it in a pie chart and see where you're not giving attention to, and very conscious. And you know, some great research behind it, but it doesn't get into the unconscious. It doesn't allow someone to transcend the ego. And that's what we want to do. We want to take it a step further and help the leader actually evolve into their true self, their satya nature. And so we're really excited about the series. We have a couple more announcements coming soon. So stay tuned to the podcast to find out about our new ebook that's coming out and a new workshop that we're revealing around this topic. So if this is what you're interested in, stay tuned because we will be announcing that shortly. So thank you all for joining us. It's been a very insightful conversation, Rob, of course, always.
Thank you.
And we look forward to bringing more of this content to you next week.
See you
soon.
Take
care. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe to Creative Minds Soul Sessions. And join us next week as we explore another deep topic where you can consciously create your life with Creative Mind Soul Sessions. See you next time.